Welcome to the Beauty Way podcast. I am your host, Leandra Valencia, and on this show, we will explore how to live a more beautiful life. I will gather the most inspiring humans I know and dive into their most magical methods of healing, growing, and living. So get ready for a playful education, deep conversations, and walking the beauty way. Hello everyone. On today's episode, we have Silje Wiik. And Silje Wiik is many things. She describes herself as a holistic health geek who loves nature. To me, she is also a friend, a sister, an inspiration, a teacher, and a poet. She is someone who emanates the essence of true love through her art. Her Instagram profile is a love letter to nature and living what I like to call the beauty way. She radiates integrity, femininity, self-love, passion, and meaning. This woman is on a mission. She studies health-promoting work in psychology, health. She is the founder of Shameless Living, where she regularly hosts retreats in nature, courses on nutrition and health. She is a personal trainer. She facilitates women's circles, poetry readings, and workshops. No wonder I adore this human. As of recent, we are also colleagues at this new holistic center called Era Life Center in Bergen. Welcome, Silje, to the podcast.
I'm so flattered. I'm kind of a little bit speechless, actually. I feel very seen, so thank you.
My pleasure. It was very fun. To think about all of the things you do and like what you are and what to introduce you as, because you truly are so many things.
Yes, and I get a little bit flabbergasted by myself. Like, how do I do all that? I don't know.
I don't either, because you study and you work.
Yeah, and spending a lot of time in nature as well. So it's like, I don't know. My life is quite full, but full in the most beautiful way. So
I agree. And on the list, I told you, on the list of people I wanted to interview in Bergen, you were very high on that list. So I'm so excited. I have so much adrenaline in my body sitting in front of you right now and get to have this conversation. And so I've been longing to have like a long, like one-on-one conversation with you, because every time, it's impossible to have a boring conversation with you.
Oh.
Truly. Every time I want more.
Yeah.
And also, you are a deeply curious person and hungry for truth. And you always ask very exciting questions to the people around you. And you're kind of like known for asking brilliant questions by this point. So I hope that I'll ask you some interesting questions today. And if you have any questions as well, like, feel free to ask.
Yeah, I think that's the most difficult part of this thing. It's like, I want to ask you questions as well.
Yeah.
So I will try to restrain myself a little bit, but yeah, you should be prepared that I will ask maybe some questions.
I am so excited to receive your questions. I want to get into tell the story a little bit of how we met and how we know each other, what's our history, just to give people a little overview of our relationship, and also like about like asking funny questions. I'm just taken back to the, we just talked about the cacao ceremony I had the other day. And in the beginning of the cacao ceremony, I said that I will serve rapé, but I will not serve if you haven't had it before. Only if you had it before, then I can serve. And then later in the cacao ceremony, you raised your hand and I came over to you and you were like, I have not had this before. And I was like, well, and you asked me like, why won't you serve it to people who haven't had it before? And I was quite like stunned, because I haven't like thought in words like why I don't want to serve rapé to people who have never had it before. So that really made me think. And I didn't have a question. No, I didn't have an answer for you immediately, but it made me like, why will I not serve people for their first time? And later I came to the realization that it had something to do with not feeling spiritually adequate or like deserving or worthy enough to give people their first experience, because I view it as a very sacred medicine, and I didn't quite feel like I didn't feel good enough, or like that I didn't have enough, I wasn't enough to do it or something. So yeah, it was very, and you ask very simple questions, but they're also quite like, so we love that.
Yeah, I think that's quite a good summary of my question asking. It's like life itself is not that complicated in a way that you don't have to kind of ponder so much on what life is. You can just live it, and in that living you also then ask just simple questions, because I kind of just see you in that question, and then the question will unfold in you. I don't have to do anything more than that, because life will take form kind of in yourself. I don't know, that was kind of a ramble, but that just came through.
So. Yeah, no, I understand what you mean. Yeah.
And I would just address that ceremony, and I think my my intention for asking you to give me is because I trust you, and because I also see that you're kind of growing, and I am safe for you to kind of come and meet yourself with me, and I want to meet myself with you as well. So there's no it's not fearful, it's just safe and a growing space to be in together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense, and that's beautiful, and gives me, ever since I've thought, like, you know, I can serve people for their first time. It's okay. And thank you so much for that trust. And yeah, I did like take into consideration that it was your first time, like served in a milder way, and it was, yeah, I don't know how you experienced.
It was chill. Yeah. Very relaxing. Was melting into the ground.
Wow. Also, I think I want to explain for the people listening, not many people know what repay is. I think some do, but it's essentially it's a tobacco mix, and it's mixed with medicinal flowers. In this case, I had a cacao repay, so it's made from the cacao plant, mixed in with the tobacco, and then you blow it up the nose, either on yourself or if you have like a long instrument that you can use to serve others, then the person who is being served has an intention, and the server's mission or task is to help the served to realize that intention. So I'm tuning into your intention, and we're both tuned into it, and then I blow it up the nose, and so it's kind of like a physical prayer that we're in the space together and delivering this intention. And I think it's such a beautiful, beautiful, holy moment. I've been served by some really beautiful and good shamans and guides, and had training from a guy who I think served me in the most beautiful way. And it's usually used in other plant ceremonies, so people will use it in ayahuasca ceremonies or San Pedro ceremonies to kind of shift the energy within the plant that you're already on. And I also have a friend who uses repay for meditation, and a lot of people use it for meditation as well. Sometimes I do too, and yeah, because it kind of focuses you, grounds you. It's made from trees, so it gives you kind of this like tree spirit, this like grounded. It can also make you very airy and like tingly in the body. I remember I actually started Vind for his first time. He's a very close friend, so it felt right, and he trusted me and everything. And I gave him his first rapé, and the intention was to ground him. But he just like went off. Did not. But grounding Vin is also really hard. He's a very airy, like astral, like that was his other time. Yeah. I didn't even use rapé, and I was just like using energy and hands to ground him. But no, he had a little kundalini awakening.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, Vin, you're making this very difficult for me. Never wants to ground. But yeah, we are exploring, and we just have to, I just really want to be also cautious and respectful to these to these plants and the traditions and everything. But that was also a little digression or a little rant about râpé, but it's fun to talk about.
It's a cool tool to use.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And but let's get into the story of how we met, like why we know each other. Do you remember the first time we met?
I think it is at the retreat, but I think it's earlier, but I don't remember.
I do remember the first time I met you.
Because it's a weird, like, I don't remember feeling, but I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so please enlighten me.
I will. So, the first time we met was at your women's circle. You had, like, an evening of a women's circle, and you were talking about the women's cycle. The moon cycle.
Yeah.
Yes. So I didn't know anyone there. I just seen this Facebook event of like a women's circle talking about the, you know, the menstrual cycle and the moon and all of this. And this was a topic that I really wanted to, or that I dove into a lot at this time. When I saw there was a women's circle talking about that, I was like, yes, I'm going there. And I didn't know you or anyone there. And then I came and yeah, we had a, that's where we met.
Yes.
At your women's circle.
Yeah. That was such a very explorative and new phase for me as well, because I met very new people, and I remember, like, I have a vague memory of remembering you, but I don't remember the exact moment. I just remember kind of your energy or essence being in my presence. So that's why it's been so weird for me to think back at the retreat when I then finally I felt like I met you. So that's kind of, for me, that's the first meeting point that I had with you, because then I actually kind of, okay, this is Leandra. In the first moment, I was very, who are you, or who are the other people? Like, a lot of new energy around me. So yeah, I think that's why I will say that that's my first meeting of you, if that's okay.
Yes.
For me it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I really remember you coming to the retreat. I was actually very proud, I will say, to kind of have you there and meeting you, because again, I really wanted to know you. And I felt like I already knew some of you as well. So it was a very intriguing moment for me to kind of, explore the energy exchange with you. Yeah. So that's my background story of how I felt meeting you.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's still like that to this day. Like, I want to kind of exchange and know deeper who you are, and kind of feel also deeper who you are. Like you said, I feel like it's we are on the same mission, and we have a little bit of a same essence, I feel like, with the nature and the groundedness, but also kind of the life and, I don't know, pleasure, enjoyment. Like, it's a lot of, again, contrast in our lives, and I feel that that resonates very much with me when I'm with you. And like I said to you when I met you again this summer, or when you have been traveled for so long.
Yeah, it was Ida's birthday.
Yeah. That was very intense for me, because...
For me too. Yeah. I want to talk about that meeting as well. Yeah. Please go.
Yeah. It's like, there you are. Finally, I get to kind of see you properly, and you see me also properly. Like, I felt like I was very exposed, but I also was so, curious and... kind of nervous. I had a lot of feelings in that moment. That was very hard to hold. So I, like I said to you many times, like, is it okay that I kind of just blurt out everything I want to say to you right now? Because I felt that I was very intense in my energy field in that moment. And again, I felt like some of the walls had dropped and I felt very connected. Yeah. And I kind of longed for that at the first time we met, or I knew that they would come, kind of, but not now. And then the day come when I saw you there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was very, yeah, big moment.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. For me too, it was, so this retreat we were at, it was your retreat, mm-hmm. you and Bente's retreat, and it was a, we were in nature, and it was yoga and good food, and it was such a beautiful time, a beautiful mm. orchestrated retreat, so peaceful, and mm. I got to connect with myself and be in nature. But at that time I was, yeah, I was more inward, and I had more like automatic walls that mm. I hadn't really peered through yet. Mm. And so when I went away for 7 months and I came back, I guess my energy was kind of more open and receptive. Mm. And so when I saw you at Ida's birthday, by the way, I want to get Ida on the podcast yeah. as well. She's like next on the list. Yeah. Ida Drake.
Yeah.
Psychologist and yeah, a friend of ours as well. And yeah, we met at this birthday, and I was still in this like travel bubble. I would say I'm still in like a travel magic bubble. but and then yeah, you approached me and we stood for so long, with just like very intense connection and eye contact, and you asked your questions that I felt, this is what was so special about mm-hmm. your curiosity and hunger for life and interest in other people and wanting to know and learn and explore, and you just mm-hmm. had that interest towards me. So I also felt like super seen, and like mm-hmm. it was a very special connective moment the connection was so deep that we were both kind of blushing yeah. and both kind of like, this is vulnerable. Yeah.
Are you seeing me as much as I see you? Yeah. I don't know if I can bear it. Oh, yeah.
And I think towards the end you also asked, like, is it okay if I just stare into your eyes for a few moments? Mm-hmm. And we just did that. Yeah, I remember it so mm-hmm. vividly.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah when I'm talking about it, I feel like my whole body is kind of experiencing all the feelings again, because it's not often that I feel that way. I feel I'm very composed. I feel like my feelings are my feelings and they're kind of doing what they're supposed to do. But when you have experienced a lot of feelings in your life, you don't get kind of caught by them, by surprise by them. But now I was like, oh, this was much more than I expected.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Oh.
And that's why it also was very intense for me, because I couldn't kind of contain them or hold them in, or kind of, I don't know. I felt like I couldn't dance with them. I just had to kind of give it all to you. Here you go. This is me. And I want to kind of connect with you. Yeah. And I hope it's okay. And you will receive it. If not, that's totally fine. But I'll give this kind of a shot to see if you want to receive. Yeah. So it was very nice for me to give all, because another thing I feel, as being myself and through my life, I have felt a lot, that I am a lot at many points, and I feel like I can't kind of be met, or that I can't give myself, all of myself, to people. Because it can be very intense in the love, kind of.
Yeah.
Mm. So I kind of trying to navigate that a little bit, and I don't want to give it to all people as well, but yeah, but here I felt a very clean gate, kind of. So then I just opened up and gave all my love to you. And that was very good for me. Yeah, it kind of... it kind of feels like my body is truly living when I can explore meetings like that, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity. Yeah. And I think the most interesting for me in life is the meeting point with other souls. So that kind of is the one driver in my life as well. So when I get to do that, like with you that day, it just, yeah, that's my purpose kind of. And it gives me very much joy, yeah, and peace. So it just amplifies everything much more as well in that moment. Yeah. Thank you.
And I agree. I used to live a more like solitary life and like romanticizing being very independent and doing everything myself and still creating art and everything. But now I also feel like it's so important to me and also such a huge part of my mission in life, this connection with other people. Because, yeah, nothing is as potent as connecting with other people, and the possibilities are just endless of what we can feel, of how we get to know ourselves and life. Yeah. And, yeah, other people are extremely scary and interesting and pleasurable. And
Yeah, it's kind of a whole other universe that you get to dive into if you want to. So when you're alone, you just have your own kind of universe, and that can expand, of course, but you don't get to see maybe a new color that you would never kind of have thought of existed. So I feel that is what I get to do when I connect with other humans. I get to see life from a whole other perspective, and that gives me very much thrill. And and then I want to just ask even more questions, because I get to know even more of what the universe actually is. So it's a wisdom well to get to know other souls. And that's, I think, it's some of my driver behind my curiosity. Yeah. And it's very difficult for me to just sit here talking, because I'm not kind of used to it, because I, like I said to you, I was on the other side, asking questions, kind of get to know other people through the questions. So I am kind of out on the water a little bit, I feel, when just talking, because it's like, do you want to know, or is it interesting, or... Yeah, again, what can I share from my universe that can be, I don't know, fun to listen to for other. So this is a little bit outside my comfort zone, and I said I was nervous talking or to be in this role, just to talk. But I also love to talk, so it's a little bit of a paradox sitting here, I feel. Yeah. So, yeah, you can. I invite you to ask me questions. because then I just won't just babble.
Amazing. Yeah. I would love to ask you questions. And you also give me a little list of what we could talk about.
Yes, but it's totally like...
Oh my God.
Up to you what you want to know. So yeah, I feel like I'm ready to kind of give you whatever.
Oh my God, okay, this is so fun. I wanted to ask you about shame.
Yeah,
because you're it's called Shameless Living. The what would you call it, my
business? Yes. Or my concept, or my, I don't know what it is. My brand name.
Exactly. Yeah. So even though the mood here so far has been like very light and bubbly and pleasureful, and I want to get back to that, but I'm just too curious about your relationship to shame and why you chose to call it Shameless Living. And because usually when we get very passionate about something, and when you are passionate about Shameless Living, that kind of gives me this idea that maybe you have had been very deep into shame mm-hmm. previously in your life, and I'm very curious as to mm-hmm. how you've transformed it to this way mm-hmm. of shameless living, because it really looks to me like you really live without shame, and you were recently in the news for just going out sober dancing by yourself at nightclubs.
I would not in my wildest dreams expect that happen in my life. Like, okay, just a digression into that. That was actually a very big moment for me, because as a child, yes, I have experienced a lot of shame in my life, obviously. But that moment when I was on the news dancing, like Silja, 10 years old, would have never, ever believed that, because she kind of just dreamed, or she wouldn't dare even to dream, go dancing on a disco ball or like on a prom, or like she just had so much restriction in just moving that way. But she really wanted to, but she never kind of dared to do it. So it's kind of a very big childhood, not even a dream, like unexpected, like that would never happen in my life moment. So yeah, that was very big for me. Oh, I'm so proud. And my little child is like, wow, I'm so cool.
Yeah.
Look what I did. It was on the news. Yeah. So now I love dancing and go out and dance. But yes, back to shame.
Yeah, back to shame. Yeah. No, I that gives me goosebumps to listen to. And we're going to go out dancing soon.
Yes, we are.
You're teaching me your ways.
Yes.
And also the reason why I want to talk about shame is because, or it just feels relevant to me these days. Mm. So I just kind of want to like get some insights and get some, not even, I don't know, tips or just inspiration on how to live more shamelessly. Mm. Because to get more like a bit, it's from like a personal desire to have less shame. Because what I'm feeling lately is actually a lot of shame, or I observe myself in social situations where I become very self-conscious, and even just a little bit right now, just self-conscious about my face and my expressions, and like if I'm too much, if I'm awkward for you, and like just I feel this like layer of shame on my body and my face that's kind of like I am wrong, I look wrong, I'm too much, I am in the way, I am awkward, and especially if I'm talking to people who I admire and who I like romantically, friendly, anything like that. I just feel like this shame of being me kind of, it becomes very clear, and it's so heavy and dense and physically uncomfortable and restricting and like tightens my muscles, and yeah, it makes me very self-aware of where I place my hands, and I would love to just, to live more shamelessly.
Yeah.
And I also observe you just when we're at ERA meetings or whenever I observe you, you just seem very, very like free, and you take up the space that you feel comfortable taking up, and whatever mood you're in that day, it seems that you're aware of your mood and you accept it and you love yourself regardlessly. And you also had a very beautiful Instagram post the other day about working out and training and like growing and getting bigger, and how that, and I was taken into kind of like the fear of becoming bigger for myself, because I love working out as well, and but I also have this like fear of being bigger and like taking up more space, and you had kind of like switched the perspective on that, and like growing muscles and taking up more physical space is actually like empowering, and like
a lot of things. Oh, where should I start? But I would say that you quite summarized what shame feels like very, very on point. Like it's a dense layer on yourself, in yourself, hiding, want to disappear, afraid of rejection, afraid to be seen, afraid to not be lovable, valuable, afraid to not be good enough, all those things. And it all stems from the I am not valuable enough of being me. That's kind of the main essence of shame, or I am not lovable for being me. So it's something that's wrong with me, not what I'm doing, but it's the core of you that's wrong. That's shame. And that's very heavy to bear, and that influences your life very much. And sometimes even in places you wouldn't know that shame existed, because it's very silent and it can be very covered up in other emotions, in other defense mechanisms. It moves in very intricate ways, so it can be hard to detect. And shame is also often very not pre-verbal, it stems from a pre-verbal phase maybe in your life, so it's hard to kind of put words onto shame and where it comes from, because you would know when you were at that stage in your life either. So it just become integrated in how you kind of behave and develop in your identity and stuff like that. So it's very good that you're aware when you're ashamed, because that means that it's easier to work through. For me, I had a very late realization of shame actually in my life. I have been very much ashamed through my life, but I've never kind of known that it was shame. I was always maybe more like embarrassed, or I would kind of put it on that feeling, embarrassment, and I would say that I'm not good enough like you, like that is a feeling, but it's not. So I wouldn't know how to articulate shame as a feeling. So yeah, a lot of shamefulness in my, or a lot of shame, yeah, in my past. I come from also depression and PTSD and eating disorder, which is also filled with shame as a back layer into the diagnosis as well. So shame is very common in those diagnoses, and also other diagnoses as well, but I won't go into that. But yeah, shame is very common, but not so much talked about and not so much known how to work through or work with. So it's very fun that we get to do it, because I also writing my master's thesis a little bit on shame. So yes, I love to talk about it, and I think it's very fun because it's so much different layers in shame, and it's so much hidden kind of knowledge and hidden memories and hidden feelings and experiences there. And you have something called shame memories as well. That's memories that get integrated into your core self of how you experiencing you as you. And you don't even know about it, but they kind of have big impact as well. Yes, I feel like I can talk a lot about it, so I will talk more. if it's okay for you to kind of have a background of shame a little bit.
Yes.
Is it fine?
Yeah, it's fine. I also just want to say that I heard that shame is like the lowest frequency emotion, yeah, that you can feel.
Yeah. And I would, or I have described it as a deadness in the body. Like, you're totally dead when you feel shame. Like you said, you can't move, you can't feel, you're kind of existing, but you don't want to exist either. So it's, yeah, you're kind of dead in your life. And that was it for me. When I was experiencing shame through my life, I always felt like an emptiness or not much life in my life. And I struggle really much of kind of just manage the days to just, I don't know, feel something else. So with the eating disorder especially, you kind of distracting yourself from the shame, distracting yourself from your worthiness, unworthiness, I mean, and that you're not good enough and unlovable of who you are. And recently, or more newly, a couple of years back, I read that it's something that's called existential shame, and that really hit me very hard, because I felt a lot of shame around just existing as me. So when you feel existential shame, the whole you, not just who you are, but you as just living or existing, is kind of wrong, that you want to just dissipate and dissolve. and not exist anymore. So when I have been depressed a lot of years in my life, I just wanted to dissipate and dissolve and not be anymore. But I didn't want to die, so I didn't know how to kind of explain the difference between those two. I just wanted to come back to love. That was my wish or my desire, but I didn't know how to do that with so much shame in my body. So it's been a long process to kind of cut through the shame and let it dissolve, and then let love kind of come back into your body and kind of penetrate your being again. I feel shame kind of it walls, it, like you said, it's walls or layers around you, and it kind of shields out love, because you want to shield out love because you have experienced that you're not lovable. So when you come in contact with love, that's a high risk to experience the same memory again, that you're not lovable. So you kind of pushes it away.
I wanted to talk about my memory of experiencing shame for, like, when I knew I was experiencing shame for the first time. And that was, like you said, in a context with another person. I was on a retreat in Scotland, a communication retreat, and with my best friend. And I've been feeling a little bit weird at that time. I was on a very, like, self-development path. I've grown a lot in that period. I've met my my fiance, and my life was kind of switching very rapidly. And on that retreat, me and her just did our thing. Took a bath, went out walking while I'm dancing, like being a little bit shameless and rebellious and not wanted to take part on everything, and just like, I don't know, we're on a holiday, but we're doing kind of important stuff as well. We were on the workshops and meditations. But in a moment, after a workshop where we had the family constellation, and I had played in that, I'm struggling with words right now. I had played, but just for others, so I didn't experiencing some of my memories in that workshop. But afterwards, I was talking with my best friend, and it just hit me that I was experiencing a lot of shame just being in her presence, because she saw me and I felt very, very exposed with her. So I always wanted to kind of hide. Like, I felt like you said, how is my face? How is my smile? Does she see how weird and ugly I am? Like, what do I do with all those feelings? And then I just said it, like, I'm feeling intense shame with you right now, and it's because you see me and you love me. And I have never kind of been exposed that way with another person. So then it hits me like, this is shame, and I've been carrying this a long time. Yes, so then the unraveling of shame began. And it went kind of fast, actually. I was in a point in my life where I had done a lot of work, and I was very ready to kind of just let it go. So I just let it go that day, and took on love much more in my life. And it's very weird to think back on, because you should think that shame would kind of have a hold on you and you have to kind of struggle through it to kind of get it away, or kind of, yeah, let it dismantle or rip it apart from your core being or whatever. But just let it be seen and dissolve, and that love, I think that was the strongest for me when working with shame. And that's and it's not so much more difficult
done that, but you have to kind of trust love again. And I think that's hard to do. And you need other humans that also know love for what love really is, to kind of be seen in that, and not love in expectations and love in, love colored by something else. So true love will dismantle shame. And when you are with persons that just love you and see you and let you be seen, then shame can arise and you can see it very clearly, and you can hold on to it if you want and cry and kind of work it through, and then you can let it go. And I feel that was my secret weapon with shame, to find those people and let me be seen again, because I try to hide very much, and I have been very lonely in my life in many, many years as well, because of shame, and I didn't know it was shame. Yeah. So yes, that was the end of my ramble right now.
So a few different things arise in me as you say that. First of all, I'm becoming a bit emotional because you know, I've been feeling some shame lately, and this like self-consciousness, and that is because I've been with people who seem to actually like me and love me and want to spend time with me.
Yeah.
And want to meet me in these like deep ways. And I haven't really thought that, oh, the reason I feel shame or self-conscious is because they're actually like holding me with love right now. They're actually like seeing me right now with love. Which makes me think, okay, wow, that's beautiful. And also like after, I've also been like kind of contemplating in my mind like, oh no, they don't like me, they don't want to be with me anymore, I'm too awkward, I'm too this, I'm too that. But it's because I'm afraid of like true love.
Yeah.
Maybe
a little bit.
Damn it!
Yeah.
I don't want to be afraid of true love.
Yeah. And that's the funny part with shame. Like, we think we are this and that, and then when you actually are in that context and in that situation and with love, then you actually can see shame truly for what it is and clearly. Before that, it's really hard because it's covered in so much more, and it's covered in your identity, in what you're doing, in your coping mechanism. It's something called masks of shame as well, and you also have different specter of shame. So shame is so covered in so much, but true love will enlighten shame. Yes, and all types of shame. So yeah, find love and then you will conquer shame.
And do you have any like practical tools or tips for the people listening on how to embody more of this true love, and how to use love to work with shame or heal shame or see shame, love shame?
I think that's the most difficult questions I feel to answer to, because I don't have kind of something hand fast. Like it's easy to say like, yeah, meet shame in yourself, see yourself in the mirror every day and meet yourself, look at yourself, eye gaze yourself, be with people that loves you, and kind of talk about shame when you're with them, so you can kind of dissolve it more and know what it is even more. Find the root cause of shame. Why did shame kind of start to flourish in you, and what are you trying to hide? Go back to memories and work with those memories, inner child work, meditation, and start to do stuff that you really like, that you're afraid of, because then also you have to be seen, and you have to be seen by yourself. And that all, I think that's a really key in working with shame, to kind of see yourself in your life, in the actions you are taking and in your dreams and what you're daring to do with your life. Because like I said, shame is a deadness and it kind of hinders you living. And it restricts you in what you're kind of capable to do in your life. It wants to hide. It wants you to hide. So you have to hide. So for me, it was go out dancing a lot. Alone. Sober. Every weekend. Just standing in the corner. And be a little bit awkward. And be awkward with myself. In my body. With my body and how it kind of moves, and that was a very fun explorative tool to use. It's not for everybody, but I feel like if you can do that, you're kind of shameless in your life when you dare to go out just by yourself and start dancing on the dance floor as one of the first ones. And I felt very proud when I was comfortable doing that, because then I knew I was able to kind of accept and see myself clearly as who I am without kind of covering up in an identity or covering up in a group of people or covering up behind some drug or anything. Or makeup, or clothes, like whatever you kind of trying to cover up in. I was just there dancing and being weird. And mm-hmm. a big part of me is being weird. So that was very, yes, now me. And I'm doing fine. And I'm kind of loving it as well. So this, I have to do more. What else can I do? So I started to explore all the things that my shame has, or my shame had kind of locked in a box or hidden from me. I have to dig it out and, okay, do I want to do this? Do I want to kind of explore that side of myself? Is it something that's unexplored in myself? Have I different sides that I never even thought I had? So I started to explore those also in relation with others. So starting to meet others that I never kind of would have met up with. And again, giving me new perspectives of who I am in relation to you. Mm. And that also opened up my perspective on myself. And I also dared to be seen even more in sides that I've never even showed, because I didn't know they were there. So now I knew that they were there, and I could integrate them into myself and expand in my being or in my core of my identity. So I supplemented a lot in that exploration of the shamelessness. Was that some tools or or do you want to concrete or like, I don't know, it's difficult. I think love again, and can I just have a moment to think a little bit? Yeah, you said a nice thing that I was very expressive in my feelings and that I didn't hide where I am in my feelings. So as a foreign or like a people pleaser in my life and a perfectionist in my life, that's different masks of shame, actually. I wouldn't show other emotions than not happy, but kind of calm, collected, and good. And I don't know that you are. What's the English word? Like friendly, like you're friendly towards other people. That was my default mode in my life. So other emotions I had, but I hidden or I just felt them alone. And then I felt them very intensely because, again, I was depressed. So that's a lot of feelings to kind of hold in yourself. So I started to kind of be much more sad visibly in my life as well. So acceptance is a very important part of it. Compassion, of course. You have Bean Brown that talks about compassion and vulnerability. I had a friend that really liked her, but I never listened to Bean Brown. That's the other fun part of being me, is that I can kind of take the essence of something and that's enough, and then I can just integrate it in my own knowledge and wisdom, and I don't need so much more. And so when you ask me about tools and stuff like that, it's I don't have like a list of tools that I kind of learned somewhere. It's just a passion for life that kind of have given me the tools. So I would say find your passion and try to express and explore it as much as you can, because then you're kind of getting deeper into who you are. Thank you.
That's so interesting. I meet some people that can just like understand the essence of something, and they don't really have to like investigate a lot around that the theme or understand why. They can just like love, okay, embody it.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. And yeah, you embody like a lot of just like the highest, purest love, and it comes through your art, and I don't know, I just feel it energetically in you. And for me, it's like love is like a huge complex subject where like, oh, everything is love, but why is everything love? Yeah. And this is how everything is love, and this is how I want to express, but yeah, I don't know. Life is a bit more complicated for some people than other.
But isn't that maybe also an excuse to kind of understand love?
Here we go with the good questions.
Something to contemplate on for all of you who are listening.
Yeah, what, you know, say that question again, please.
That was a very in-moment question.
Yeah.
But isn't it just an excuse
To not go to the purest love straight away.
When you like, just want to understand love.
Yeah.
You have to kind of know love before you feel and embody love. So the mind, again, wants us to keep us safe.
Yeah.
So when you know love, what it is, how it operates, where you can find it, how you can have boundaries for it, it's very easy to kind of live around it, but you're not in it. So you're kind of controlling love. But again, it's not love, it's its purest form. It's a fragment of love that you are safe to experience right now. But the purest love is just being in the essence of you. So again, if you have shame and you're afraid of to be seen, you are trying to control love, because when you experience love, you're trying to hide. So for me, yeah, understanding something is a step, but it's also a slow step, because you have to know so much before you even dare to try it. Yeah. You can also contemplate on that answer if you want.
That's crazy. That opens doors within me, because I definitely find myself in the category of like having to understand and like think my way to love. And also I think recently I've become better at like, okay, so now I know more now what pure love feels like and where I can find it within myself. I can kind of visualize it a little bit, or like remember the feeling of the essence of love within me. And I recently had like a healing session with a friend, and she was And she just said that I could just keep coming back to that. I could just choose that. I can just choose love. I have it within me. I can just choose that. But to me, that I'm like, that's too simple. Isn't that bypassing feelings? Like, what if I, you know, what if I'm in like self-criticism or shame or self-conscious and are you sure I can just choose love in this moment and just be there? Because I guess I can do it, but I'm scared that it's going to be fake or that it's going to have a backlash effect of me having to deal with emotions in a more hard way later. Yeah. But then I really want to trust that I can choose this pure love all the time. I think I'm just a bit scared and not fully in trust as much as as I want to be. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I will definitely say I agree on the scared part, that we are scared of love. Again, if you experiencing shame, like you don't want love because love has failed you before. So it's a deep engraved belief in you that love is dangerous. So again, a root cause, and to find out where that comes from. And when you then try to, or like you said, you can go into love if you want to and experiencing shame at the same time. But like you said, it probably will give you a backlash. Like, you have to meet some wounds doing that. That's also why love can be hard and painful, because again, it heals. So I feel like when with love, it's not bypassing to come back to love, but you should be ready to kind of meet and work with whatever comes in love. Yeah, it can be very hard and painful, and it takes some time to kind of give a space to love more and more as well. So you can start with a small fragment of love, like I said, with meeting in your friends, being in spaces or in communication with universe or God or with love itself, and kind of give it more space in your body and expand a little bit further and further, because then we're kind of working with the layers of you as a human. So to just dwell in love, totally in love, can kind of I don't know, I think you have to have experienced that beforehand, when you are younger, or that you have kind of a deep or a big awakening doing that. But afterwards, now my words are starting to fail on me a little bit, so I'm just gonna take a break. Yeah, after an awakening or a big love experiencing, where you kind of experiencing yourself as true love or just love in your being, it has to be integrated in life, and that takes time, and is a process. So it seems to me that you are in that process, integrating love in your life in different aspects of who you are and different aspects of yourself in different contexts as well. So that's the funny thing about shame and love. Like, you have to work. It's not all at once kind of work. It's a bit there, a bit there. And I didn't see that one. I have to go over there as well. And then you kind of expand love in those areas in yourself. Yeah, so it's kind of shining a light in the dark corners with love. And be ready to see what is in those corners. Yeah. That was my answer for now.
Yeah. Damn, it's so scary.
Yes. Yeah, I've cried so a lot in the process, and I've been very much afraid, like you said. And I've been, I don't know, it feels like you're on a big wave of fear and a big wave of I want to die. I don't know if I can take it. I don't know if I can live like myself in love in this life. I don't know if I have what it takes to do it. So that process can be very intense. And I had a year when I just deep dived into all of my unseen aspects of who I am and my memories that I didn't remember, and but it's very, very intriguing, and my curiosity again gives it kind of that little kick to do it. So I feel like use your strengths when you're also working with love and shame.
How did you visit your memories that you didn't remember?
Meditation. I think that's the most simplest question. I meditated a lot for a year, and energy work.
What type of meditation and energy work?
I don't know. Again, just my own thing. Like, I don't have a way, or I don't have a specific way of doing things. I just do it, and then it is what it is, and it works. So I think my fearlessness is an important part, that I'm not afraid of going deep, and I'm not afraid of being in the darkness. I'm not afraid of being like in the most saddest, depressing part of the existence. Like, I've been there so many years in my life, so it's nothing there for me to kind of be afraid of. And I think when you're experiencing a lot of deep valleys in your life, that's a strength and advantage you have when you're using meditation, because it's no place you can go that's not I don't know. The only thing you're scared of is the high points.
Oh, yeah. So, don't get me started.
So, but that comes afterwards. So just first go down and be there and kind of see what's there. And when it's clean down there, you can try and practice to going up again. So it was a lot of cleaning down there before, in one meditation actually. That was very fun. I was ready to go deep again. I was laying on the floor, starting to kind of drift off when I'm meditating, and when I'm kind of in a deep meditation or starting to go in a deep meditation, I always get like colors in the darkness, and then I know, okay, now I am on the right path. I'm going on this journey where I'm supposed to go. So to have trust in the meditation when you're meditating is also important part. I always had trust that I was supposed to find out what was... I'm so sorry.
No,
my English is so bad right now.
It's great.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? No.
I'm feeling like I'm stuttering a lot now. But yeah. Have trust in the meditation process and the journey you're about to embark on. And have trust in the universe that it's going to take you where you're going to go. And see what you're going to see and feel what you're going to feel. So that was my biggest tool in meditation. I had trust. And I also know love. And I know the universe. And I started to know myself. And that's my kind of reason of doing meditation, to know myself more. But yeah, I had this meditation. I was ready to go down. Okay, now I'm starting to drifting. What I'm going to see? What visions I'm going to have? What feelings? I don't know. I was ready. I was really excited actually, because I was getting, or I was really good at getting into a deep meditation in the darkness and with all that was there. But I was kind of diving into the rabbit hole and going into the darkness. And then the universe just said, stop. No, you're not going to go down there this day. No, you're done. It's nothing more there for you. You're done. So it just kind of cut me off from my rabbit hole. And it just said, I'm just going to be up here and relax right now. And then I just had to be pulled up again and just be in the state of love. And just lying in love and be there. So again, nothing intentional. But again, I had trust in the process, and that was the process in that meditation. I was not allowed to go down anymore because it was nothing more to find. And then I was like, wow, have I done all this work now? And now I can enjoy life and enjoy being me. I did enjoy it beforehand, but now it was nothing more to kind of work through right now. And that was very new, because all my life I had to work through something. And now it was nothing left. And that was very, very new for me. Yeah. So the universe knows, you know. You don't need to understand. You know.
Like, I'm wrinkling my nose for the people who are not, because like, oh, I want to understand.
Yeah, but what do you want to understand?
Do I want to understand?
The mysteries.
I want to understand. Well, regarding shame, I want to understand. I want to see clearly why I mean, it's, I guess I can go into why I feel shame, but I want to see clearly how it will look to transform it into love.
Mm.
And I want to understand why it makes sense that I am going to be in love instead of shame. Mm. I don't know.
I think like shame is the concept that you can understand, because it's a feeling, it's more concrete, it stems from your life. Love as a concept is much bigger, so that's not so easy to kind of have a grasp on.
Mm.
So kind of also adjust where you can understand and where you shouldn't understand. Yeah, because shame you definitely can understand.
Yeah.
Mm.
Love is more mysterious, that's true.
Yeah, love is God, so
yeah.
You can't understand God.
Right.
That's not for us,
it's
to do.
It's beyond us. No, yeah. We're just here as an expression of it. But yeah.
So again, why do you want to be God? Or you are God. So why do you need to understand God when you're it? I don't know. you're kind of God, wondering why God is.
Yes, I am. I'm God wondering what I am. Yeah. I'm God wondering what God is. That's funny, but that's the mystery, and it's, I guess, just important to enjoy the mystery, enjoy not knowing everything, yeah. Too.
And that's love, and love as a human concept, like in society, that's conditioned, that you can understand, but like I said, that's not true love, so you can understand love, like, but that won't give you anything. To understand that type of love. It will give you kind of understandment of other human beings and how they relate to each other and why they're doing stuff they're doing and all those things. But understanding love in yourself, as yourself, that you can't understand. Yeah, so you have to kind of, yeah, single those two from each other as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So love as a feeling and love as being.
Yeah.
Mm.
This is great. This is so, yeah. I need this reminder.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
It's easy to get lost, and it's easy to forget yourself in your essence and, yeah, in your naturalistic way. Yeah. And for me, I will say, like, I have a background in religion, So I've experienced kind of God from a very young age, or love. So I think that's also been a huge tool for me to have, because I have been kind of known and safe in the presence of God. And if I didn't have that, I think my being in love or living in love had maybe, I don't know, but taken more time, or like maybe I would have needed to understand it more. So, but yeah, your background plays a role in how you kind of relate to love as well. How are you kind of, have you had a background in love, or is it more a newly experience in your life?
It's, love is definitely a more new experience in my life. Yeah, I did not grow up with any, well, I didn't know. I didn't grow up with unconditional love.
Mm.
I didn't know what unconditional love was. I didn't really grow up with religion or God being a support.
Mm.
That is something that I had to find later, for sure. So it's not really ingrained in, well, it's ingrained in everyone, and I just had to find it. I just had to go inward and find the truth and be in my essence, which is, has made life a lot better, for sure.
Yeah, and that's why it's so fun to kind of think about yourself as, as somebody that don't understand or shouldn't understand, like a child, because you just feel and live in it, like it's your reality, like it is what it is, so you don't need to understand because you see it as it is.
True. Yeah. So I guess it's wrong to say I don't come from a background of unconditional, because we all do. We all know. We just have to get back to remember what it is.
But
it does help to have grown up in with some religion or concept of
this. You have more of an understanding of what it is. But again, the experience of love is not an understanding.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so I could grow up in another religion and don't know love, but I understand love, I understand God, I understand the dogma, I understand the norms, everything like in that culture, but love itself is separated again. So love just exists everywhere all the time. Love.
Love.
You're so fine.
And I feel like a lot of your poetry is about just this.
Yes, it is. It's about love and the essence of life. And I try to kind of capture it in some funny words here and there. But it comes from love itself. And that's the funny part of the poetry I'm writing. I don't have kind of a statement that I want to make, or I don't know, a kind of a purpose, or it's just I want to express love, I can do it with words, and that's really nice to do. And then I can write through love for others as well. That's also very nice to do with the poetry readings. Love fuels my life and fuels my creativity, and it fuels my relation, it fuels like my steps I'm taking, and I'm really grateful for that being my biggest guide. And it makes you kind of also feel a lot, so it can make it hard to be a human sometimes. Like I said, I would shame as well. And when I knew love beforehand with God and through my shame period in life, I knew God, I knew love, I knew what it was, but I couldn't take it. Like I wasn't worthy of having it. I wasn't worthy of living in it. That also made me go into more of a existential shame, right? Because I knew love, but my existence wasn't worthy of being in love.
Why?
that's an interesting question. Why wasn't I worthy of existing? And And that's a question I sometimes still ponder on. Like, I don't know why my shame was in that extreme form of my existence was wrong, but I have thought about it. Like, I would say it was my longing for love. I was longing in living in love wholeheartedly in my life, and when I couldn't do that, I felt a very separation from love. So my existence wasn't worthy of living because I wasn't living in love. And I also knew love. So why wasn't I living in love and embracing love and embracing God in my life? Why would I just live like a body and go through life without love? That's why maybe the existential shame came in.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's an answer to why, a little bit of an answer to why. Mm. And I also had a huge what's it called in English? Like, I don't know, ripped apart, yeah. But rift i min identitet på norsk.
An identity rip?
Yeah. I don't know a good word for it, but yeah, my identity ripped because...
makes sense.
Yeah. Again, with love, because I had to kind of exclude myself from religion. But that meant also that I kind of have to give up the concept of God. And I didn't want to do that because I knew God, I knew love, so I couldn't do that. So then I was just living in sin. So with sin as well, shame is very integrated. So when I was living in sin, then why am I living then? Because I also knew God. So it was a paradox kind of living in my being at that time as well. And then the shame, I think, grew even more. Or it also dissipated a little bit because I separated myself and stood up for who I am even more. But yeah, it has been a lot of complex components in my life, I would say, that I had to work through, and I have to kind of juggle a lot of things at the same time. And I also been very conscious at every stage, so that's also been a difficult part of it, that I see myself, I see it, I know. You just know things as well as a being, but you don't have kind of the embodiment at the time as a human. So it's kind of that also is separated a little bit. The human being hasn't come together. So yeah, I've been stretched a lot in my life, and I also have been very, very small. So it's kind of been the extremes to juggle.
But I think it's so interesting, like you said, about the face related to shame and how the face is often something people don't think about that much, but when you have shame in yourself, the face is very kind of all out there.
Yeah.
And like, don't look at my face. Mm. What are you seeing?
The micro expressions in the face can be so revealing. And yeah. I feel like, oh, they can see my shame now through my micro expressions. And they're going to be like uncomfortable looking at me right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so funny how the face is a mirror kind of the shame. I mean, that's been a thing for me as well through my life. Like looking in a mirror and looking at myself. Oh, I just hated it so much. I remember when I was 16 years old, And I was dwelling in my eating disorder, and I could just sit, like right now I'm sitting on the floor looking at the mirror, and I could just cry by looking at myself. And I said, why are you even crying about your looks and how you are looking? Like, it was so painful. And I was beautiful, and I could see I was beautiful, but I can also see that I hated myself.
Yeah.
And that's the interesting part, which shame is kind of ignores the beauty of your natural looks. So you get you're getting blinded by the shame. And like a tool, I had to work really hard to just start looking at myself again after many years without even daring to look at myself in the mirror. Just putting makeup on was kind of, I got disgusted by myself. My skin was breaking out. I gained weight because I started overeating. Like, my whole kind of picture of who I was dissolved, because now I was somebody else. I was struggling with anorexia beforehand, then I went into overeating. So the difference there was just too much to handle. And my life was too much to handle. My depression was too much to handle. I couldn't handle looking at myself in the mirror. So I avoided it, that for all the cost. And also people, like, I was lonely, I said. Mm-hmm. And that was because I didn't want to be seen by others. So I just isolated myself more, so I didn't have to be seen in my shame.
And today you're just, I mean, I didn't know you back then, but you're just so beautiful, and you just emanate confidence and beauty, and I'm just so curious about the healing journey, or like what you did to arrive at this place, even though we've talked like some about it. But
yeah, I can say, I can mention, like, I was in a relationship for 7 years before the relationship I am in now. And that was a very, very, very hard and life-giving relationship. So we struggled a lot, but we healed a lot as well. And we healed a lot intentionally at the end. So I was lonely, but I had him at my side. And again, relationships and other connections with other people, I think, is something that is of most significance in healing. So we need each other. And if you only have one person, that's enough. I just had that one person, and that was enough for me. So find another person that can see you just a little bit. Yeah. And another, I think it's so hard for me to explain the process, because I have been so deeply involved with it. So sometimes I can't see what I did, kind of, because I just fought every day, and I did something every day that took me here. So that persistence, that discipline, that confidence, because I had confidence, I knew who I was, I knew what was inside of me. I just had to kind of find it again and express it again. And all those daring actions that I talked about a little bit earlier, those are very important, because they can be very small and seem insignificant, but for that person, they're really, really big. I remember I had a rule when I was very lonely, but I didn't want to be lonely anymore. I wanted to expose myself. So I was having a challenge with myself. I would always go up to a person that I thought was interesting, or I wanted to get to know better. And my rule was to ask them out 3 times. And if they said no 3 times, it was fine, then I moved on. But if they said yes 1 time, I would invest in you more. So that was very hard for me to do, because then I had to be seen even more, and I had to kind of push myself out of the comfort zone in relation to others. And that was a very fun game I played.
Wait. You had a rule with yourself to find an interesting person and then ask them to like hang out with you.
Yeah.
And if they said no the first time, you would ask again some other time. And if they said no again, you would ask them one more time.
Yes. And if they said no that time, then I was like, okay, fine. No. Yes, I did it. And sometimes like they said no the first times, but the last time they said yes, and it became a relationship. So then it was worth it. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm also like on that journey of becoming more like brave in my relationship to others, and actually expressing what I like about them, and expressing my desire to be with them. And oh, it's so scary though. Yes. So because sometimes I'm like, oh no, I'm just gonna give up. Never mind. They probably don't wanna.
Yeah.
So it's very inspiring to hear this. Oh my God, I need this. Is very medicinal for me.
That helped me very much, and I got friends. So. It really works, and you're kind of proving to yourself that you're worth being with.
Wow.
Yes. So I had to do that for myself.
That's great advice.
It's
really, really good.
And I would also say training has been a very medicinal practice for me. Like I love to be active, and I love to, like you mentioned, strength train, and I love to grow, not just energetically but also physically. So even when I hated my body, I was full of shame, I couldn't stand mirrors, I went to the gym where it's full of mirrors. You're exposed because you're around so many other people's. And the body is kind of the center of attention in that context as well. So you have to kind of be aware of it and accept it as best as you can in that moment of that that shame moment. So it's I cried very much often in the beginning of my practice of strength training, because I had to be seen so much by myself all the time. When I was lifting, and I saw something that I didn't want to see, and that was very, very exposing and healing on my journey. And I still lift to this day, and I still kind of sometimes don't kind of like what I'm seeing in the mirror, because of those integrated beliefs are so integrated in my human. So those are still there, and I have to kind of push them away and exchange them for other beliefs when that happens. So I still struggle some days of being the human of me. So I'm not only love, I'm also human all the time, so those two are existing simultaneously, and that's the beauty of it. Like I can be in love, but I also can be human. I can be Silja, and Silja still struggles, and Silja is still wondering if people like her, if people if she's stupid, or if people want to listen to her, or if she's weird, or like I still have those thoughts. And I like that I have them, but because it gives me the opportunity to kind of dismantle and expand even more into my reality as Silja. Because if they were away, I would just have a very boring life. So they give me a little bit more push into the next phase. And the next kind of exploration of my growth. So I'm very grateful for that. I have a brain that's functioning, because that's what brains do. They have beliefs and they have their pathways. So that's just a neuroscience as well of being a human. Like, I have created some loops in my brain that I am looping it some days, and then I just have to go another way if I don't want to be in that loop anymore. So that also has been a big part in my process, to kind of create more pathways in my brain and to kind of expand my reality in my brain, in my relation to myself. It's very easy to expand in reality, like, okay, now I'll learn this, now I'll learn that. I can, get a new skill if I want. I can do this, I can do very much, but to kind of navigate and expand in your view of yourself, I think it's the hardest, because then you really have to work on your reality perspective of who you are. And that's not so easy to just kind of learn to cook.
I think we've been talking a lot about shame and love, and I think we've been talking for a long time, and there are so many other things I would like to talk about with you, so I'm thinking, like, okay, maybe we have to do another podcast.
Yeah, maybe
like a part two, or just let's do another podcast again, because what keeps coming up in my mind that I also want to talk to you about, some of it is, like, because the first time I met you, I was at this women's circle where we talked about the women's cycle and how we're affected by our moon cycle, and I kind of want to do another podcast altogether about that, because that's profoundly changed my life, understanding myself as a woman.
Yeah.
And you helped me, like, with that journey, our first meeting. And then you also said we could talk about polarity.
Yeah,
and,
like, so much.
I also really want to talk about sexuality and polarity. And I don't know, we can probably
just start our own podcast.
Let's just do it.
Teams every week.
That could absolutely work.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. We'll do that. Mm. We'll do that soon. And I'm so exciting. Very exciting topics. But let's round up this podcast. And maybe you want to share something about, like, what the next couple of weeks or months looks like for you. Are you offering anything, and where can people find you? Like, how can they, if people are from Bergen or visiting Bergen, like, how can they get in touch with your gifts?
Yes, right now I actually have a little bit of a break. I need, again, we're talking about cycles, it's winter, and my body is heavily responding to the different
seasons.
Yes, thank you very much. Of the year. So I am taking a step back and focusing on writing my master's thesis a little bit more now, and not so much of the offering. But in November, I'm going to have a poetry writing meditation workshop at ERA with Kjetil there. We're still discussing the date, but it's gonna come in mid-November, the end of November. So yeah, everybody's very welcome to come. That's a writing and meditation workshop. So we're writing in love or through love or through intuition, and we're just seeing whatever comes through that. So that's very fun, and that's how I write my poetry. So yeah. And then I am, that's haven't come out yet on my Instagram, because you can find me on Instagram at shameless.silja, or my Facebook, my personal Facebook, that's where I'm most active, Silje Vik. But I'm gonna offer opening up two more spaces to poetry reading in November. So if you want a poetry reading, you're very, very welcome to contact me. That's a reading done through poetry. So I sit in silence with you a little while, and then I go into my own silence, and then the poetry emerge for you, to you. And that's very, very interesting, and I don't know, eye-opening, and it just hits, and it's really fun for me to do and give. And also I have embodied strength coaching, so I offer both personal training and coaching in a package that where we're working with your embodied strength, and that's very, very expanding for the being. Yes, that's my offering right now, but I will come back stronger in January with the women's circles, because I love them. Maybe I'm gonna offer that in November or December as well, just like a little rounding of the year. I'm gonna host retreats again in May probably, and maybe in August, September again, so two next year, I think. And I'm gonna continue with Uante Ord, the writing workshop, and also have classes in embodied strength from January again. So if you don't want one-to-one, you can come in classes and getting strong together. Yes, that was the offerings right now.
Yay. Thank you so much. And yeah, I guess we can also find you on Eras.
Yeah, webpage,
and just see what classes you offer there, because I'm not quite sure when this podcast will be released, and it might be after some of the first things you mentioned, but anyway, they can find you on your personal social medias and on Era's webpage. We can link that as well, so people can find both you and me.
And you, yeah.
Yeah, because I will be offering things there as well. Yeah. I'm just going on a little journey first through South and Central America. Again.
You're so cool. Wish I was you when I was younger. Like that must, yeah, I have to say that, because for me you're a very inspiration for a younger Celia. Like, she wanted to kind of be where you are, so have that in mind when you're also looking at me, that I I'm very inspired by you and where you are in life, so yes.
Thank you so much. That makes me, that makes me happy and hopeful and confident.
Yeah.
And also, thank you so much for all of the work that you've done. Thank you for everything that you're offering and the light that you spread energetically and physically and through your eyes and through your presence. Thank you for wanting to be my friend and taking interest in me. Thank you for being on this podcast, and it's such a pleasure being around you, and it really lifts my spirit. So thank you for what you do to other people and with other people. It's love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're really walking the beauty way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm very happily walking beside you.
Yes. Hand in hand. Yeah. Let's continue.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me here.
My pleasure, and we'll speak again soon.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Fun.
Yes.
Wow. Hey, son. Jo, det er hyggelig. Det er så rart å snakke på engelsk, og så er det så rart å snakke på norsk nå.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Beauty Way podcast. Let's expand the bubble of beauty. Share something you learned on here with a friend. I'll be back next week. Until then, you can find me on Instagram at Leandra Valencia. Keep walking in beauty, and all my love to you. Goodbye.